It's always nice when you have young people like that giving the announcements, such poise and such confidence, and to be up there is not easy. And then I thought Ali was excellent wherever he is, inshallah. So for the future Muqi of this Jamaat, one loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعمه العدون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد ما صل على وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله أعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد For those who have done any sort of reading on the purpose of revelation of the Deen of Islam, you know that essentially in our books of Irfan, our books of philosophy, our books of theology, they have summarized the purpose of the Deen as three. When you look at the book of, for example, Hussein Nasser, who talks about the hadaf of Nuzul, or the purpose of revelation, to be Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. Or for those who have read a little bit on Irfan, you'll understand the idea of Sharia, Tariqah, and Haqiqah. Essentially, these three things point to the same concept, that a balanced, established, firm Muslim is that individual who has three concrete pillars that are well grounded in his path. And that is, of course, that one pillar that is what we submit to, the one pillar that we have faith in our ibadat, in our daily worship. And then, of course, it is that third pillar that is our behavior and our morals and values and virtues. And so I want you to imagine now this example that we have a concrete building now resting on three pillars, and those, as long as those three are firm now, the building will not teeter or totter or wave, or it won't become imbalanced, or a little bit of the shaking of the ground will not actually result in the building becoming unstable. But imagine, if you will, if one of those pillars or two of those pillars were to be removed, the building would be in a constant state of instability. And kind of feeding off of last week's discussion of Sayyid Ali Imran, who was here last Thursday, and you know, it's nice to have a different speaker for all of you every Thursday, but sometimes you miss that continuity and that sort of, you know, one sort of message across 4 weeks. That's why it's important to kind of, you know, combine these Shabi Jum'ah discussions. He talked about the importance of tawazu' last week, humility. And I want to get there eventually, but before that, let's examine these three pillars and let's see where we are at individually. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, please. Now, the Quran talks about these things, not so much in the example I gave you, but in this instability, this vulnerable Muslim. Surah Hajj, verse number 11, is one of the most beautiful verses and one of my favorite in terms of verses to ponder on. We all have our selective or our collective verses that we ponder on, that when we hear them or when we come across them in our readings, we stop and ponder. And this is one of those where I believe, I've said this many times, that sometimes you come across verses where you think that the Quran was revealed, or this verse was revealed for us at that very moment. And that's what makes the Quran a living miracle, of course, is that whenever you go back to the same verses over and over again, the same verse now will give you a different message. The verse is the same, it's just that your capacity or my capacity now has increased. Verse number 11 of Surah Hajj, 22:11, is one of those verses for me. And I don't want to spend too much time on that, just as a very, very quick sort of intro to get to my topic. When Allah now addresses a handful of people, not everybody, and these are not the kuffar, the munafiqeen, absolutely not. These are people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the scary part. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ. There are some of those people that worship Allah ala harf, on the edge of a cliff, at the edge of the boundary, 1 foot in and maybe 1 foot out. In a very, very vulnerable state, in a very, very sensitive position. And dealing with a person like that equally requires you to be overly sensitive. And it goes on to describe this position of this individual, right? And when this person, asabahu khayrun itma'an nabi, when there is khayr brought to them, when good news is brought to them from God, from the ulama, from whoever, they are mutma'in. They're secure. They're content. They're good. God, you give me what I want, I'll give you what you want. No problem. But the moment in asabathum fitnatun in qalaba ala wajhihi, the moment that a fitna comes, and the Quranic fitna is that different, is different from that Urdu fitna. The Quranic fitna is a test, a tribulation, a hardship, a struggle. The moment that comes, in qalaba ala wajhihi. Imagine, look at the symbolism now. They turn their face away from God. When you turn your face away from somebody, you do it either out of extreme anger or disgust. That, look, I expected this from you, you gave me this. I'm asking you, I want A, I want A, I want A, you keep giving me B and C and E and Z. I want A, Baba. Eventually you say, forget you, I'm gonna move on to something else, and you turn your face away. These are people whose three pillars are not secure, I'm sorry. They're teetering, they're tottering, they're moving, they're fragile. A gust of the wind, a little bit of a push, a little bit of a jolt, and they're down the cliff, they're out of boundaries, and they're gone. And you've seen that, I've seen that. Individuals were going good, they're going strong, especially my youth out there. A little bit of a diagnosis, a broken engagement, God forbid a miscarriage. And they start questioning the entire universe and God himself. These three pillars are essential. The Quran time and time again talks about the fact that if you want to know what the metric is of your worship, and a lot of you ask me, my young guys always ask me, Asabai, how do I know? How do I know that all this salat, all of this fasting, I went for hajj, I give my khums, how do I know it's working? What's the metric? What are those criteria? What are those marking grounds? And I always ask them, you tell me what the metric is. Do you see a change in your behavior or not? Do you see yourself becoming more humble or not? Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Is that happening to you? That salat should be that act of worship. Or someone like me, that if I'm worshiping Allah and I'm keeping up with my salat, and some of you, mashallah, don't miss one salat, alhamdulillah, that sajda nishani is nice and deep on your forehead, alhamdulillah. It's beautiful to see. But it should result in what? In the removal, in the nahi, in the rejection of fahsha wal munkar, indecency and evil. And sometimes the unfortunate part is, and I've said this before upstairs, is that those who keep up with their salat regularly, the deeper the forehead goes, the more indecent the person is, unfortunately. That's a metric that's failing, I'm sorry. It's not resulting in behavior. Two of our pillars are great. We believe in Allah, no doubt. We have imamah down pat, prophethood, qiyamah, no doubt. My salat, I don't miss one fast. Hajj is done, alhamdulillah. Khums, no problem. It's that third pillar of behavior that's not there for a lot of us, especially me. And when Allah invites us towards the deen of Islam, He wants it to be a comprehensive, jami' invitation. And so the response is also comprehensive. Every inch of your existence and my existence has to say labbaik to Allah's invitation. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirusuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Oh, you who believe, say labbaik, answer the call of Allah and the Prophet. Idha da'akum, when they give you a da'wat, when they give you an invitation, lima yuhyikum, to that path that will continuously give you life upon life upon life. But that labbaik, that acceptance is all of you, all of me. From my la ilaha illallah to my sujood to my akhlaq. Sometimes I wonder, God, why do you have to invite us? It's obvious, right? I wouldn't say no to you. I mean, it's sad that God said, look, just say yes to my call. Say yes to my call. Say yes to my call. The fact that He has to overtly say, look, please say labbaik to my call, means that He knows there are other avenues of life that will also call us. Look, if I tell my daughter, go upstairs in my office, open up my desk, and bring me my green pen. I specify the green pen, which means what? There has to be other non-green pens there for me to specify. Black, blue, red. If it's all green pens, I just say, just bring me a pen, I'm good. No matter what you bring, it'll be green. But sometimes God specifies a certain adjective, a sifat, a quality that He's after. Right? يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَطَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٌ. Not just your heart, He wants a salim, sahih, free of evil heart on the day of judgment. There has to be a behavioral translation of our worship. And this is why it's important that we look at Surah Hujurat tonight. One verse. Surah Hujurat has been discussed several times. Books have been written on this surah. Commentaries, lecture series, you name it. These 18 verses are life-changing. Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi in his Al-Mizan, in the beginning of this tafsir, he writes, the ahkam in this surah, if followed, will result not only in a hayat al-tayyib, but a hayat al-sa'id. And I want to explain the difference. One, of course, is a pure life. One is a life that is sa'id. Sa'ada is a beautiful level to reach in Islam. Eid is sa'id, we call Eid al-Qurban. It's amazing how the deen now defines what happiness is, and people like me at a low level define what happiness is. I tell myself, I convince myself, if I just buy this house on that market, I want this house, I want this car. If I get to this income bracket, I'll be happy. After that, I promise you, I won't ask for anything else. Right? Baba, just buy me these markers and that's it. For the rest of the year, I won't ask you for anything else. I'll be happy. Just these markers. And we actually believe it. Sometimes people like me believe it. I get to where I want to be, I still have this gaping hole inside of me. That's not true sa'ada. There are people here, there are people that you and I know who have everything this world has to offer. They're miserable, man. They can't sleep at night. Then there are those that have the bare minimum, enough to survive in this world. Enough to survive. You look at them, they're content, they're happy, strong marriage, beautiful kids. The house is maybe a little bit smaller than usual. The car is maybe 8 or 9 years, a little bit older, but mashallah, they're content. You walk into a house that, you know, you need an app to figure out where the bathroom is. Mashallah, but it's a cold house. One kid is in that wing, one kid is in that wing, this and that. There's no kid. Four roommates under one roof. They come down for a meal, they go back to their four quarters. That's not what Sa'id is. The verses in this chapter will bring about a life of Sa'ada. That's why Imam Ali, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala. It's a beautiful hadith. I really want all of you to ponder on it. I pray to Allah that He gives me that tawfiq to act on it. La yas'adu ahadun. No one person can reach the level of yas'adu. Yas'adu sa'ada meaning happiness, true happiness, at the spirit level, where I am truly content. La yas'adu ahadun illa bi'iqamati hududillah. Except by the establishment of the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we live a life according to the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can expect the life of sa'ada and sa'id. Now, people like me will think, oh, the limits mean pray namaz, avoid haram, encourage halal, I'm good to go. When I talk about limits, I'm not talking about legal limits, jais, not jais, halal, haram. There are legal limits that all of you, mashallah, ask 1,000 questions about. If I go to Milton Molana, is there qasr there? If I travel in the month of Ramadan after Zuhr, can I still fast? For example, you know, right now, Saudi has, you know, completely changed the Hajj system. I have no idea what's going on. I've applied for the draw, blah, 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 this and that. Is it still wajib on me? 1,000 questions about the Sharia. Because these are limits that we believe that are legal limits in Islam. And that's important, no doubt. No doubt. It's one of the three pillars. But in this particular surah, we not talk about legal limits, but behavioral limits that are equally important. Islam has placed limits on our behavior. And if you look at Surah Hujurat now, the first five verses at least, they all talk about how we need to behave with the Holy Prophet. And then we get to those second set of five verses where now it's us or me and somebody else, or how I am with others. A lot of people that believe that, look, this is my path, Maulana. I have not missed one salat. I don't miss one wajib roza. I do every mustahab roza. Me and God are good. But if I asked your wife or your children, it's a different story. Which tells me that what people like me believe that it's a one-way path. Between me and God, how I am with my wife, how what I spend on my wife, what I do with my kids, doesn't matter. Me and God are good. These guys won't be in my grave. My amal will be in my grave. This fikr exists in our community. And the majority of the phone calls I get about divorces, and don't tell me about divorces for back home people who are quote-unquote uneducated, who were raised in a village in Africa or India, Pakistan. These are young couples who have masters and PhDs who are running corporate Canada today, and they can't figure out how to be under one roof with each other. And believe me, these issues are not about the Sharia. Very few times have I heard someone say, look, because he doesn't pray salat very well, I want a divorce from him. Because she doesn't wear hijab very well, I want a divorce from her. Because I go to the mosque on Thursdays and he hardly comes, I want to separate. No, there's actually a high level of tolerance for someone else's path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, I'd like it if he prayed namaz together by jamaat in the house, mana. That's okay, he's getting there. He comes from a different background, blah, blah, blah. The tolerance, the bardash is higher when it comes to Sharia. But where the bardash and tolerance is zero is in behavior. We can't tolerate toxic, narcissistic behavior. We can't tolerate evil, damaging behavior. It's one thing to not pray salat. It's one thing to disrespect me as the mother of your kids in front of my kids. It's one thing to ridicule me in front of your parents, my in-laws. It's one thing to constantly dismiss me whenever I open my mouth. That I can't tolerate. I can be with a person who doesn't pray namaz. I can't be with a person who's egotistical. The focus has to be a little bit on behavior. Akhlaq is everything in the deen. The Prophet destroyed Abu Sufyan with his akhlaq. Brought the man to his knees literally. With broken swords and a handful of camels. He himself would admit, I had everything against the Prophet of Allah. Bigger army, more weapons, more money, more people. I had animals, but he killed me with kindness on the battlefield. If we only focus 10% of our legal limits onto our behavioral limits, maybe our houses will be a little bit stronger. And that's why Surah Hujurat is very important. A comprehensive 18 verses of akhlaq. Simple akhlaq. And I won't go through all 18. I won't. Verse 11 will be the focus of my discussion tonight. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers. Addresses the believers. You know and I know that Allah addresses various groups differently in the Quran. The message that follows that is very, very specific to that group. Ya ayyuhan nas, ya bani adama, ya ahli kitab, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu is not just, it's not for the Muslims, if I can say. It's for the mu'mineen. And it's very openly known. The mu'mineen are those who believe in the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli ala. I like the echo in this banquet hall. So can you please give me a nice loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please? Okay. I don't usually hold my phone up here, but today I will. Three principles. Oh, look, they're already ahead of me, these guys. Incredible. Three principles. And believe me, these are major issues in our community. There are people, and I've said this in the Imam Radha's Wallah, that I don't mean to be negative, but I think a little bit of a jolt for me up here is important, and maybe for all of you. There are people who don't attend the mosque simply because of the behavior of others. There are people who have lost all sorts of confidence for themselves based on the words of others. There are people who cannot move forward in life, who actually believe they're a horrible parent and a horrible spouse and a horrible employee at work. They can't hold a job. They've lost respect of their wife and their husband and their kids, all sometimes based on the behavior of others. When you hear something enough times, you start to believe it. And there are still some people that you know and I know that they don't understand the idea that you don't need to always bring everything to your tongue. There are people with fakhr and pride say, Malana, I'm not like that. I'm not a munafiq. Jo zehen mein hai, wo main bolunga, I'm sorry. Whatever's in my head, I'm going to speak. I'm not going to hold back. Why should I hold back? I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not a liar, Bob. That's not being a hypocrite. That's being wise. Not everything needs to be said. You have to learn when to say what and how to say it. The first lesson, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ. Number one. Oh, you who believe, very interesting. The words Allah uses is very interesting. It's pretty incredible. He says, don't ridicule. Ridicule. Make fun of, ridicule. You know, maskhara in Urdu means something else. You know, bada maskhara hai. He's, you know, he's humorous, he's funny, blah, blah, blah. It's a, you know, it's a joyful sort of quality. It's nice, you know. But here, yaskhara means something else. To ridicule somebody. To make fun of them, to insult them. Right? To taunt them, to bug them to the point where you break them down. There are people that won't stop, won't let up until the guy charges out of the room, until they break down in tears. Does everything say, ah, I got you now, didn't I? Meanwhile, he's in a corner hugging his pillow, rocking back and forth, and you feel like you've won something. Allah says, don't be like that. It doesn't even address individuals. That's the beautiful part of this opening portion of this verse. It says, don't let one group of people ridicule another group of people. Very interesting. Because God knows the only time that we do any sort of ridiculing is when we're in a group. There are people who actually enjoy sitting in a group talking about everybody in the community. You don't have that same joy talking to yourself in the car about somebody. There's no one there to listen to. There's no audience, right? There's no one who will laugh at your nobody will add stuff that you didn't know about that person. It's always in a group. That's why I have said, it's exhausting how much I talk about this. Whenever I address the school upstairs, or Sunday school, or my young guys, or a majlis, or some sort of class in some sort of city, I talk about the fact that the first thing I talk about when it comes to young people is surround yourself with the right people. Surround yourself with the right people. A lot of your parents are obsessed with your friends. Who are your friends? Bring them over, introduce them to me. Mom, stop. Dad, stop, you're embarrassing. Call him inside. There's samosas frying, give him some mandazi. He's a white guy, he has no idea what that stuff is. Leave him alone, forget about it. I wanna know who your friends are. And there's a reason, and I would never ask any of the parents to stop doing that. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. The circle of your influence is just that. It's your influence. When you are by yourself, when I'm by myself, I'm a completely different person. You put me in that group and in that group dynamic, I'm a completely different person. It's just how it is. The Quran says, "Qawmun min qawmin." One group just should not ridicule another group. We sit around in a circle, we talk about every individual, and we have a good laugh. The next part is incredible. This is where I really, to me, it was, you know, it was eye-opening. Asa an yakunu khayran minhum. How do you know? The person that you're ridiculing is not 10 times better than you are in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What gives me the right to sit there and bash this individual? Somehow go into his mind or her mind and understand her niyat. Beautiful Du'a Kamil read. There might be actually some people where I enjoy this young man reciting Du'a Kamil. There's nothing better than a beautiful voice like that. Reciting Du'a Kamil, right? To hit the heart, there might be some people that might think, oh, look at this guy. He loves the sound of his voice. Oh, look at him. Look at this alim. You give him 10 minutes, he takes 1 hour and 10 minutes. These malas, man, they love the mic, man, right? Meanwhile, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have a very high level. You don't know? I'll give you one quick hadith by Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, carefully please, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to elevate somebody, he places hardships in their life. Okay? There are some people in our communities, I kid you not, it's not a surprise for any of you, that they've gone through a lot of hardship, one after the other after the other. It seems as if, this person is going through something. He just finished fighting cancer, and now his grandson is this, his job is this, his wife is this, blah, 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 you know, this and that. Please pray for me. And you think it's that issue, it's a new issue. To the point where some people actually believe this guy has got bad vibes. Stay clear of him. There's something, you know, there's a bad omen about him. There's a bad energy about him. I don't want to catch that. Like it's contagious almost, right? Our fifth imam says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to elevate somebody, he places a hardship on their life to the point where others might look at them and feel sorry for them. Sit there and say, oh my God, I don't know what they did to deserve such punishment. Thank God I'm not one of them. Thank God I'm not around them. Thank God I'm not associated with them. To that point, but the imam continues to say, if they knew, those who are doing maskara, if they knew what Allah planned for this person, they wouldn't sit there and ridicule them. They would pray that they would become them. We have our sisters in the audience, let's say, who are not married, in their 30s, in their 40s, divorced at a very young age, never got remarried. You know how much ridicule? How much judgment happens in the communities? First of all, why this idea that nobody can get remarried is beyond me. That's another topic altogether. It's a whole ashra. There are sisters who are divorced at 20 and they spend their entire 40, 50 years as a divorcee because log kya kahenge? What will people say? You never know. You don't know what the situation is like in their household. Maybe she has devoted her life in caring for her ailing parents. Maybe, for example, that window when it was open, she had one proposal after one proposal and she didn't settle for a proposal. Maybe, just maybe, she has internal confidence issues. You don't know. Maybe nobody proposed to her. Who knows? But the idea that, oh my God, you know what, to the point where if people have engagements, they don't invite those who are divorced in our communities. I don't want that bad vibe coming into my daughter's engagement. So I'll send you food, just don't come into my house. Doesn't happen? Happens. Absolutely. If we see that woman who's in her 40s not married talking to my engaged daughter, my BP goes up. What's happening? I go, let's go. It's time to go, Betty. Let's go. You rescue her from this woman who hasn't been married since she was 40. It happens a lot, too many times, to the point where the person stops coming to the building. This is the problem. And that's why the verse goes on to even make a distinction between the idea that not only should groups not ridicule other groups, وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ. Women. As much as we cause you grief as men, sometimes you cause your own gender more grief. Please be careful. I ask you, please be careful. Can I give you a hadith that scared the living bejesus out of me? Imam Ali says, the one quality that you spread like wildfire to others, I'm paraphrasing, will come back and be on you before you leave this world. Can you understand that? We talk about karma. We don't believe in the idea of karma. But don't tell me there's not tajassum-e amal in our deen. Don't tell me there's not personification of the deed. You sit there and talk about the fact that, oh, she's like this, he's like this, she's like that, he's like that. And you spend every waking moment, I spend every waking moment, making sure that I destroy this person's personality, drag their name through the mud. Believe you and me, you'll taste that. If not through you, through your kids, your grandkids, God forbid. This tongue is vicious. جِرْمُهُ سَغِيرُ جُرْمُهُ ثَقِيلُ Imam Ali. Its size is small. Kitna bada zaban hai yaar, itna bada hai. That's how. Measure your tongue. Not right now, at home. Measure your tongue. Its jurm is big. Jurm meaning crime. It's huge. Physical wounds come, they scab, they heal, they're gone, we forget. I've scraped my knees 1,000 times playing sports growing up. I can't tell you where they are. I can tell you what someone said when I was in grade 6 or grade 7. Verbal words. I can tell you, you know, the ridicule when I was in grade 9 or grade 10. That has etched, that doesn't heal quite a bit. Let's be careful. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Again, asa an yakunu khayrun minhunna. It could be this sister that you are ridiculing is actually better than you in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number one. Ridicule. Please be very careful. I talk to myself up here. There are some people, I don't know what happens. Kujli ho jati hai. They become itchy when you start praising somebody else. When you sit there and say, oh, this guy, every time I meet him, warm handshake, I feel great about myself when I leave his presence. Jab bhi dekho, mashallah, he's amazing, on top. Whenever I meet her, she's always in a great mood, jolly mood, mashallah, and their face drops. Something to say? No, it's okay, leave it, don't worry about it. No, it's okay, I'm not one to gossip. And then brrr. I'm not one to backbite. Whenever someone starts that statement, run from that room. I'm not one to backbite. They somehow find what's something wrong with every individual that you come across. Point number one. Point number two, in the same verse, please. وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't find faults in each other. Fault finding. There are people, mashallah, who go to social media profiles, who sit there and zoom in on pictures. There are people who watch you very carefully. They sit there and watch the libas that you have, how thick your beard is, how loose your hijab is, and they make a mental note, and they find faults, and they find faults, and they find faults. Then they expose those faults. These are behavioral limits. These are the hudud that Imam Ali talks about. It's not just as Milton Qasr or not, Malana. Are we doing this or not? Let me share with you a couple of hadiths and then Masayib. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Our fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, alayhi salatu wa salam. Usually I'm uplifting and hopeful. Today I'm a little bit... It hurts me when I get phone calls. It really affects me. Every phone call I get affects me. And my phone's been blowing up for months and months and months. It's never, Mona, I called to tell you my life is great. I wish that was the case. It's not, unfortunately. Look at this hadith by our fifth imam. And I ask you, please, I'm talking to myself up here. When you hear these words, don't think about 10 different people. Oh, this is for this guy. I wish he was here. No, Baba, it's for you, it's for me. I tell the story a lot. During my Hausa life, I came out of one classroom, I remember, and I had this amazing teacher who would always add his little examples and stories and, you know, sometimes from his own personal life. And there was one story that really stuck to me, and I don't have time to tell it. I came out of that classroom, I was just on a high. I saw a fellow English talaba, a student, who's, mashallah, a big alib nowadays. I said, look, this story. Let me tell you the story, blah, blah, blah. And I said something to him. I said, you know what? People back home are going to love this story. He said, look, it's not for people back home. Did you understand the story or not? Are you going to apply it or not? Don't worry about them. You have to first apply it. Kafa bil mar'i 'ayban. Oh, it's enough of an 'ayb. It's enough of a defect for one person. That one, أَنْ يُبْصِرُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُؤْمَ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. It's enough of a defect that a person, what, tries to pick and look for faults in other people while they are blind to the same faults in themselves. Sometimes I tell you, I look at a person and this person is sitting there talking about person A, B, and C, you know, this fault and that fault and this fault and that fault. I'm scratching in my head and I go, do you have any idea that these things exist inside of you? Are you not describing yourself to me? And the word is a'ma. They're blind to it. They're blind to it. And he says, it's enough. Kafa, it's enough of an aib. You don't need any more ayub, mashallah. No more defects. It's enough for me to have my one fault is enough of a lifetime. The fact that I see all these faults inside of me in others, but I'm blind to them to myself. Man bahatha an ayub an-nas falyabda'a binafsihi. Same imam. The person who busies himself looking into the faults of others should start by looking in the faults of their own self. 10% if we spent that much time on ourselves. And the third one he talks about is nicknames, alqab. Be careful of nicknames that we have. Now I know, you know, my last point then, Masaib, I used to play MMBHL, Minor Muslim Ball Hockey League, part of this community. A lot of you, I think, out there remember that. Some of you were my coaches, actually. It's hilarious. Good coaches, mind you. So I can hold my own on certain courts, a soccer field and a hockey rink, I'm horrible at. I'm not a good hockey player at all. I'm horrible at soccer. Tall guys, big feet, I can't do it. So I remember playing MMBHL back then, and everybody back then had a nickname. And they still do. Someone is, you know, and I worry about mentioning these names, but there's nothing wrong with it, by the way. My point is that if you are okay with somebody calling you that nickname, and you are okay with being called that nickname, that's fine. That's not what the verse is talking about. There are actually some people we refer to behind their back by their physical appearance. Lambi Shanaz, Kala Raza, Ganja Ali. You think you'll like that? I know there's 1,000 Alis we have. Try something else, man. Is there anything else you can describe him at? These sort of nicknames, you know, are not names that we should be able to use to the point where, of course, we ridicule that individual. It's comical, but the Quran mentioned it. These are, like I said, behavioral hudud. I ask you very humbly, I ask myself, of course, let's be weary of this. This is one of the strongest pillars of the three that I talked about in the beginning. Remember, two out of the three won't cut it. And that's why we're struggling, right? That's why he mentioned something last week, said Ali Imran did, that maybe, you know, didn't sit well with people. Practical atheism he talked about. Where yes, we believe in La ilaha illallah, we believe in Allah, one Tawheed, one Allah, Nabuwat, Imam al-Ghadir, no doubt. There's no shak, Mulana. But my behavior on the outside doesn't match my iman on the inside. And this duality is, I think, what's causing a lot of issues and a lot of extremes in our communities. The pendulum keeps swinging here and here and here and here. We don't quite understand how I should behave in public by still maintaining my iman. And we don't need to recreate the wheel here, guys. Everything's been laid out to us. Our behavior, our akhlaq, everything. We are the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. They've given us umpteen amounts of resources to follow them. It's just a matter of us moving from admiration of the Ahlul Bayt to emulation of the Ahlul Bayt. Salu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. And by the way, that behavior is not just for your family, your spouse, your children, your community, even those that you know that don't know, hatta even your enemy. The first Imam has a beautiful hadith, a good segue towards Masaib. He says, three people deserve two qualities of yours. Three people deserve two qualities. Your brother, your ikhwa, your akhi, your brothers or your brother deserve what? Your blood and your money. Your enemy deserves your fairness and your justice. Your enemy. Imam Ali is telling Imam Mustafa that my qatil is hungry. Give him some milk. And the third is that anyone who's not fall to these two categories deserves your love and kindness. Is there anything left? Remember, justice, behavioral justice is an absolute virtue. There's never a moment in front of anybody that we are allowed to be unjust in our behavior. It's the lone virtue that's required at all times. You could say that war is an evil thing. No doubt it's evil, but sometimes war is necessary. Like in Karbala. You can say that salah, peace, is a beautiful thing. No doubt, but sometimes peace is not necessary. But justice is such that it's always required. There's never a moment in your deen, in my deen, that allows you to be unjust in your behavior. Doesn't matter who it is. Forget your enemy. Your closest loved ones require the best of your behavior. And that's why when Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura, Shimr bin Dhul Joshin is on his chest, he says, Shimr, was I a bad mullah to you? Was I unjust to you? Did I take your huquq away from you? Is this just about you avenging Badr? The night before Ashura, Umar ibn Sa'd and Imam Hussein in the tent alone. No Abu al-Fazl, no Ali Akbar, no Shimr, no Hurmala, nobody. Just these two individuals. And some historians incorrectly have said that Hussein was pleading for his life on the day before Ashura, na'udhu billah. Never, never. That meeting with Umar ibn Sa'd was not to save Imam Hussein's life, it was to save Umar ibn Sa'd's life. Understand the point. If you're going to do what you plan to do tomorrow, Umar ibn Sa'd, there's ramifications of that. In this world and the hereafter, you're about to shed the blood of the grandson of your holy prophet. Understand what you're doing. But his behavior on the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein. Hazar salams to Ya Aba Abdullah. With his ashab, he was a certain way. With his family, he was a certain way. The respect he gave his loved ones makes sense, but the respect he gave his ashab. I don't know why one of the sahabi that always touched my heart, and a little bit of his musibah tonight, is Habib. The love that Imam Hussein had for Habib. Every step of the way, every minute of the musibah that Habib now went through and his whole story, you can see the respect, the love, the behavior of Imam Hussein. That in Kufa, he's sitting there inside of his home with his wife, and there's a knock on his door. Kufa was a tense environment. House arrest, there were people of Ibn Ziyad everywhere. Everyone knew Habib was the close companion of Imam Hussein. So he was being watched, so he was very careful. The books say he ignored the knock. One time, two times, three times, he approaches the door from the outside, asking the man on the outside, saying, what? Who are you? What do you want? Where have you come from? And the voice says, Ana Safiratul Hussein. I have come from Hussein. He heard Hussein's name. Opened the door. A letter was given to Habib. Habib now, first of all, kisses the letter. Puts it on his eyes. Opens the letter. Reads the letter. من حسين ابن علي إلى رجل فقيه حبيب المظاهر. From Hussein ibn Ali to a faqih, to a scholar, to a believer, Habib al-Mudahir. One version of the letter says what? من حسين غريب إلى رجل فقيه. From this Hussein that is now tanha and gharib and full of ghurbat now, to who? To Habib. He reads this letter, Habib. As he reads the letter, his face is dropping. His wife is watching him. Habib puts the letter away, doesn't say a word. His wife says, Habib, this letter is from Hussein. That man mentioned Hussein. My aqa, your aqa. My mullah, your mullah. What does the letter say? He says that what? My mullah is calling me towards Karbala. And Habib just pauses, doesn't say a word. And then the wife says, and my salam to the wife, those anonymous, unknown wives of the Shuhada of Karbala. There's many of them that would push their men to go towards Imam Hussein. Habib was worried about his wife. Habib said, what will happen to you? And the response of the wife of Habib says, Habib, if you don't go towards Karbala, give me ijazat for me to go towards Karbala. He says, no, I will go. The maktab goes so far to say that she even tied the amama on the head of Habib. Habib, go. Don't worry about me. Your mullah is calling you. Habib now is riding towards Karbala. The day of Ashura is arriving now. Everyone is getting ready for the war now. Alams are being handed. The biggest one to Abu al-Fazl. Small ones here. Small ones here. 12 of them. The 12th one now Hussein takes for himself. Somebody comes to Hussein, says, Mullah, can I have that alam? Mullah, can I have that alam? He says, no. This alam is for somebody khas. He's coming from Kufa. I've called him. He's going to come. And let alone from the distance now, a rider coming from Kufa, Ali Akbar and Abbas, go see who it is. Habib now gets off the horse from a little bit away from Imam Hussein's khaymah, comes towards Imam Hussein. Ali Akbar says, Baba, Habib has arrived from Karbala, Baba, from Kufa. Habib has arrived from Kufa now. Hussein is standing there. Habib now drops to the khak of Karbala. Mola, you called me and I'm coming. Hussein grabbed him, cleaned the dirt off the forehead. They embraced. Takbir could be heard from the khaymah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Bibi Zainab in the khaymah says, Fizza, why do I hear takbir outside? Go find out what happens. Fizza goes out, says, Shahzadi, Habib has arrived, Shahzadi. Habib is here, Shahzadi. She says, 2 rakat shukran in namaz. She goes, tells Fizza, send my salam to Habib. Habib now is standing there. Fizza says, Habib, the daughter of Fatima sends her salams to you. Habib falls down and says, Ya Allah, what day has come on the Ahli Haram that someone like Habib is being sent salam by someone like Zainab? سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept this qaleel ibadat, inshallah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give us that tawfiq, inshallah, to not only worship Allah, but not only believe in Allah, but behave the way that we need to behave, inshallah. We ask you, Allah, to soften our hearts, accept our amal, forgive our sins and those of our marhumin, inshallah. And tonight is the night of Friday. One dua we have with our tears in our eyes, that you make us worthy of the imam's arrival, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.